So please welcome Margaret Lang.
Hello, everybody. I'm all those things, and probably in reverse order, because the first thing in the morning is to get up and let the chickens out. So I'd like to tell you about a time in my life when I was a young mother, and I had two small children, about 3 and 6 and a half. I lived in San Jose, and it became very apparent that I had to leave my marriage. And so I loaded up a U-Haul and packed my kids up and moved in with a friend who took me in. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I felt at the time that it was either stay and watch my daughter's souls shrivel up under the oppression of their father, or choice B, behind curtain B, was leave, face fear and uncertainty, and have hope. So I chose hope. And eventually I ended up in Santa Maria, which is where I was raised. I brought my kids back to Santa Maria because I needed the support of my family. I didn't want to live in San Jose anymore. And when I got to San Jose, when I got to Santa Maria, my then ex-husband decided that, I guess kind of out of city, out of life, and stopped paying any child support or alimony. So I entered this period of my life when I thought I had been poor, but I actually was able to become poor. And, you know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, and I know that because that's a steady mantra in my mind. Bless my mother for this, because I know no matter how bad something is, it could always be worse. And I had a place to live because I lived in a house that they had. My parents were both my mom was a clerk and my father was a mechanic, and somehow they managed to save enough money to have to own two houses, and one in which they lived and the other a few doors down that they rented out. So they let me live there, and I paid the mortgage, and I could afford that. And if it hadn't been for that situation, I have no idea what I would have done. But I had a house over my head. And I worked. I worked full-time. I worked out at Vandenberg. I loved working there. And I had just enough money, if I was extremely careful, and I was, because I wrote down every dime that I spent, that after paying the rent and the utilities and food, if I was really careful about my menu, and the child care for my younger daughter, that I would have, every week I would have $5 extra. So it was a really lean ship. But I knew how to run it. And I learned that I could run that ship that lean. So when it came time one year for, I did my taxes, and there was this thing called the earned income credit. This thing was like magic, like manna from freaking heaven, because I filled out my taxes and I said, we'll see what happens, you know. And I come back and they give me back $500. So the time frame on this is the mid-80s. So it was a nice chunk of money. I had $500. It was more money than I had spent, that I had paid in taxes, I got back. And so, you know, some people might think, oh, that can't be right. But the whole purpose of it is that it helps people to get a little bit ahead. And boy, I tell you, that $500 was so wonderful to me. And I took about $475 of it and I put it in my savings account. I had money in my savings account for the first time in a few years. And the other money I took down to the mall. And they had a store there that sold these posters that were framed in these plastic frames with plexiglass. Which sounds really cheap, you know, but I thought it was great because I didn't have anything on my walls. And this was something that I didn't like, you know. It was kind of disturbing to me and unsettling, I would say, because I like to have something on my walls to make it feel like home, but I didn't have the money to buy anything good for my walls, and I didn't want to just put some crap up there. So they were empty. And so I went down and I bought two pictures. And one was Van Gogh of the fishing ships, those colorful fishing ships. And the other one was Monet of the bridge over the lily pond. And put those up on my wall, and I felt finally really proud, you know, of my house. And my older daughter knew how important this was to me, too. So she, out of her incredibly sweet generosity and sweetheart, it must have been around her birthday. She had $5. She spent that $5 on a picture for she gave to me of this this parrot, this purple parrot, framed in wood. And she gave that to me because she knew that I wanted something for my wall. So I still have that, of course, and I still have the other two pictures. And quite a few years later, I ended up having the opportunity to go to France. Well, this was when I wasn't so poor anymore. And the husband that I have now, who is nice husband, we went to France. And I took my younger daughter, who was still a teenager. And the one thing that she really, really wanted to do, besides go to Jim Morrison's grave, was to go to Monet's house. And that's when I realized how much of an impact that picture had on her. I had no idea. But she said, no, I just always remembered that picture in our house, Mom, and I just want to go, and I want to go see that place where that picture was painted from. So we did. We went there. And I think about how all through those years, you know, this man Monet painted that, and then that image came onto my wall and became a part of our lives, and is still a part of our lives. And so, whereas I don't necessarily recommend poverty for everybody, I think that I am right now really glad that I know what it's like to have to think in terms of I have this much food for the week, and if I don't have seconds on this dinner, then I'll have this much I can put in the refrigerator and have for lunch tomorrow, and that's going to make a difference for me tomorrow. And I know that I like that when I put money down for something, you know, I know what that money means. And I know what it means to really appreciate every bite that I have and every dime that I have. So I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. So thank you.